You're listening to Virginia Trioli on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Martin Foley is the Victorian Health Minister and he joins me now. Martin Foley, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Virginia.
First of all, just very quickly, we have that one new infection, which of course is the one infection we're speaking about this morning in the last 24 hours. Have you had any updates since then?
Yes, we have, Virginia. So the contact tracing, testing and isolating team have been hard at work overnight. And the initial positive news is that the gentleman who has been outstanding in both his record keeping and his cooperation. So there's really four kind of groups that we've associated with him. The most at risk is those who are close to him, his family members, and those people in his social context. The very good news is that the people he lives with, his immediate family members, their tests have come back and they are negative. That's two family members. And that on the basis of the 20 immediate social close contacts that he has, we've identified, spoken to, and isolating and testing 19 of those, and we'll have the results of those tests in coming hours, and we'll track the 20th down. And then we branch out from there to the now 14 exposure sites that the Department of Health has up on its website, and we would urge all Victorians who have been at those sites at the nominated times to get tested and to isolate. And then following on from that, there are now some 600 of his co-workers at COVID Quarantine Victoria who are being treated as primary close contacts. They are also being required to isolate and test, and we're getting very good cooperation there. And then the final, out of abundance of caution group, is the 520 casual contacts that flow from the workplace, the Grand Hyatt, that is the Australian Tennis Open cohort of players and officials, because of the nature of their very incidental contact. We've asked that they get tested and isolate until the results of their tests are back.
Okay.
And then a whole range of things flow from each of those decisions, Virginia.
Well, the Australian Open hotel quarantine system, when it was announced, it was described then and has been described since as world's best practice when it comes to hotel quarantine of people coming in from overseas. Given it is world's best practice, how did this infection manage to get out?
That's a question that the infection prevention and control team are investigating as we speak. The CCT at the Grand Hyatt, the work logs, all of the work from his phone, every piece of information shows that he has followed every piece of protocol and advice and seems to be a first-class worker. What it does speak to is the rapidly evolving, changing nature of this virus.
Well, see, to that point, and it was interesting to hear from Mary Louise McClaws this morning, the epidemiologist, in her view and in her considered professional view, given what you've just referenced, the quickly evolving nature of this infection and also the high infectivity of the new variant, bringing people, tennis players and all of their cohort in for the Australian Open was simply too high a risk for her. Is that something you're starting to consider now as well?
Well, it's not just a question of bringing people for the Australian Open. There's, as the Prime Minister regularly reminds us all, there's some 40,000 Australians trying to return to Australia. There's a regular program of specialist workers, whether they be in the mine industry, the IT industry, foreign diplomats, film crews, the people who bring, who are scheduled to bring the vaccine and help store, train and distribute that. There's a question of at what point does risk outweigh benefits? And I think what Mary Lou and others have raised with us is that there's an open question as to at what point the hotel quarantine system, however risk-averse it is able to continue to evolve in response to that changing risk. And what is it now? I think there's a South African variant, a Brazilian variant, a UK variant, a Japanese variant. This wildly infectious virus continues to evolve, and we have to be one step ahead of it. But it does raise, as Mary Lou and others have raised with us, a open question as to how can we continue to stay ahead of this. And I'm sure whether it's the Western Australian Premier following the leakage over there, the Queensland Premier, the New South Wales Premier, the South Australian Premier and Victorian Premier, this will be a matter of some discussion at National Cabinet tomorrow, I'm sure, with the Prime Minister.
Is there a discussion to be had with the Prime Minister, as indeed Mary Louise herself and also the Western Australian Premier and Federal Labor have raised repeatedly? Is there a conversation to be had at National Cabinet with the Prime Minister about whether it really should be the Commonwealth designing and putting in place, with your agreement, quarantine program in the states, that it should be ultimately their responsibility?
Well, look, notionally, under the Constitution, it is the Commonwealth's responsibility.
But it's being run by state governments, you know, because you're running it, and that's all you do.
Yes. So there was a decision of National Cabinet that would be the case. And until such time as National Cabinet, which is chaired by the Prime Minister, the responsibility is the states. But this continues to evolve. It bears very little relationship to what it did 12 months ago, this virus. And it will continue to evolve.
Given that it bears, that's an interesting point you're making there, given that it bears very little resemblance to what it was 12 months ago, do you believe the whole process and approach needs to change?
Well, it changes all the time, Virginia, and we will continue to learn from this case. We share information through the infection control subgroup of AHPPC, the network of chief health officers. We will continue to share information both across Australia and globally to try to stay ahead of this.
All right.
Raise the issue of the open question of what is the best way in which quarantine systems can be managed.
I know your time is tight, and I've got a couple of questions that I do need to get through quickly if we can. So the question of who infected this quarantine worker, that's yet to be explained, I understand. You had six people who were being detained there, housed there, who tested positive. How long had they been there before they were then moved out to a so-called hot hotel?
So these were all people that came in from the Qatar Middle East tournament and all tested once they arrived at the Grand Hyatt and then tested positive once they were here. And as soon as they were tested, those six, they were all moved to the health hotel. So once we get the genome sequencing work as to what the particular infection of this gentleman is, we'll be able to then tie that to, we hope, each of those six, and then be able to narrow down substantially what was the point of contact around that. And we would hope to get that genome sequencing probably tomorrow.
And how long a gap is there between those people from Qatar being moved out of the hotel to a Medi hotel and then this particular hall worker testing positive? What's the gap of time?
Well, the six tested positive at a variety of times. So there's somewhere between 14 and I think it's 8 days, depending on which person we're talking about.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is then, once we get the genome sequencing, be able to tie that to particular cases. Hopefully that will provide more information and specificity that will allow us to really hone down on this. And the gentleman's work logs, the roster system, the fact that we've got through CQV really detailed work plans and work records is precisely the kind of information that we need. But even allowing for what we've got so far, it still points to the fact that this virus continues to evolve and continues to be increasingly smart in the way it gets around.
Are masks compulsory in regional Victoria in the same way as they are now in metropolitan Melbourne?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so recommended inside your home with people coming over, and are the indoor cap limits the same in regional Victoria?
Yes, they are.
And for people who might be holding weddings this weekend and bigger events, now that you've reduced those indoor numbers, do you know for how many days that number cap will stay in place? Could it be reviewed in time for the weekend?
Everything is under constant review, but we've got no changes to announce on weddings, public events, all the processes that have been approved so far. We are confident that our test, trace and isolate system is in full gear, and I want to thank those many thousands of Victorians who have come out to be tested this morning for doing the thing that we need most. We need to know if this virus is out there, and the only way we can do that is if people get tested. If they have been at those exposure sites at the times listed, please get tested. We know that there are wait lists at the moment, but sites are seeking to manage those. There's information on the website as to which are less busy, yep, and the staff are redirecting people, particularly in the south and southeastern suburbs. If you've got even the mildest symptoms or if you've been at those locations, the best thing you can do for yourself, for your family, for all Victorians is to come forward and get tested.
Martin Foley, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Virginia.